Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yeah, I can tell you, Boniface, hey, you got it all going this morning, and alhamdulillah, the time of the morning, where we join our very own Member of Parliament, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me, how are you doing?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Actually, last night I checked in to fly to Durban. And while I was at the business lounge waiting for a flight, I got a message. A relative in Cape Town had unfortunately just had a heart attack and died. So I had to come out and change my flight. Inshallah, the janazah is this morning at about 11 o'clock. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest place in Jannah. We've had 9 further deaths reported in terms of COVID in the last 24 hours, 8,015 new infections. And 40%, Brother Shafat, of all these new infections come from Gauteng province alone. Now, stage 2 load shedding once again. According to the Minister of Water, he says that the crisis that you will experience with water in the country will be a lot worse than you're currently facing in terms of energy. What he does not take responsibility for is the reason why we are where we are, the crumbling infrastructure, the looting and corruption. If you remember that Minister Sisulu initiated the investigation into the water and sanitation, and he's come there and basically shut down that entire investigation, and there were senior people that were involved in corruption and looting and what's going on. I remember 6 years ago when I went to Mount Aleph, and I know some of them have been arrested recently. 6 years ago, we've been trying to deal with corruption, which I said was, I've seen it alive. And very little or nothing has been done. And I think a very important point that they often tend to forget. Leave the ministers and the deputy ministers out of this. Start dealing with everybody below that, the DGs, DDGs, the CFOs. These people are part of the furniture, brother. They're there for years. They are part of, you know, when the corruption takes place, the looting, some of them are implicated in one way or the other. And very often, this particular department, you'll always find managers are in acting positions like a movie house. So, you know, ministers come and go. But what about those people that have got their hand firmly onto, you know, the public purse and supposed to be controlling it? They should be taking responsibility and nothing happens. And let me tell you, the ministers, when they go there, they're at the mercy of these DGs and DDGs. I know the same thing's happening on the international relations as well. Very importantly, Tony Yangeni goes for Chief Justice Zondo. He raises a lot of concerns about him. But also correctly, so Reverend, I think Raymond Zondo has not been consistent in terms, if you read his reports thus far, Brother Shafat. A lot of unanswered questions that, in fact, he decided to actually suppress, not even, you know, pose these questions. So, you know, you can see that there is a question mark. And I've noticed something. We're becoming like a dictator state. When it comes to anybody else, you can attack them at parliament. You can say this. You can do what you want to do. But when it comes to the judiciary, you are constantly reminded and told that, you know, that you must not attack the judiciary. Surely in a free democracy, it is your right if you believe something is not. Everybody should be equal above the law. Everybody should be equal to the task. Everybody should have the opportunity of questioning anybody, raising concerns, attacking them if they want to. You can't say it's fine to attack one and not to attack the other. Operation Dudula is once again now. Now they're in the Western Cape or Cape Town. They've come to launch this, and eventually they will launch a political party the way I see it, or they'll align themselves with Action SA or one of them. But look at the statistics on the early childhood. Can you imagine 42,000 early childhood schools? Okay. 1.4 million children are attending these schools. 50% of them do not have the necessary or the appropriate books based on that age group. 50% as high as that. So what are they doing in these early childhood schools? And 40% of these facilities do not have any flushing toilets. So now, I mean, look at the statistics, and the minister will tell you of basic education. Everything's going well in that department.
You go and ask the Minister of Basic Education, 1 + 1 + 1, you get a terrific answer, Ahmed. But, you know, the bottom line is you made a very valid point about ANC is a failure. I mean, they've been in power for 28, 29 years, and, you know, they're playing the blame game, or they're talking about the poor infrastructure and this and that. The fact is, the buck stops with the ANC. Stop pointing fingers at others. Your thoughts, Ahmed?
Yes, overall, nationally, most of the provinces, most of the local government, ANC must take responsibility for the failures. But there are equally some of the other parties that are running certain provinces, and particularly local government. If you look at the chaos in KwaZulu-Natal, between the vying for power of the IFP and the ANC and the NFP, how they're fighting each other. In fact, even yesterday I've been told there was this secret meeting that was taking place behind closed doors. And I want to tell you, Brother Shafin, the amount of money that is changing hands, that every week municipalities are getting overthrown and taken over by the opposition. And then the following week, of course, they are thrown out and taken back by the others. It's going on and on and on. But in all that, taxpayers' money is being used. They're buying people. They're paying people. These are the things that are going on. So let me tell you, if you talk about the weaknesses in terms of the delivery of services and taking us forward, many parties must take responsibility for that, Brother Shafin. They must take for it, you know, because, you know, local government is the heartbeat of the delivery of services. What are these people doing? It's all about, you know, they got control of the purse. That is most important. And once you have control of the money, you are become untouchable. You become arrogant and rude because you're controlling the money. That is why I repeatedly say, and I said the other day in the public service and administration budget vote, if you're serious about corruption and looting to eradicate, then show us what you're going to do. And my suggestion is no person must be employed in any government department with the influence of a politician. If you take Itegwini municipality, I'll give you an ideal example. Let there be an independent body that must evaluate these people that are applying for these positions and give it to the person best able to do the job, irrespective of which point. In fact, asking them which political party you belong to should be a no-no. If we can do that, then we will start employing them. But what did you see in the last couple of weeks? The ANC is still employing its own cadres. Even in Parliament, the Secretary of Parliament is coming now. Another cadre is coming there now. So it's not going to stop. No, it's not going to stop.
Yeah, absolutely. Spot on there, Ahmed. And then it says, Halifax, cue the beloved country, and welcome to Arun Motsadedi's dysfunctional home affairs. What's happening there, Ahmed? It seems like Arun Motsadedi is out of favor. Perhaps, who's writing the headlines, Ahmed?
Yeah, you know, Brother Javad, the easiest thing to do is to attack somebody. But go down. I want to give you a good example. Everybody that calls me and I ask him to intervene, he intervenes immediately. I know of a brother that needed to get to a job in Zambia, desperate to get, battling for a long time. And he got in touch with me 2 weeks ago. He's flying to Zambia. Everything is done and sorted out. Now, the problem is the minister himself has admitted, you know, I said again earlier on, Brother Shafin, you can't only blame the ministers. Where's the DGs, the DDGs, and everybody else below them? These are the people that have been running the department. They are accountable to the ministers. Ministers come and go. You change them when you don't like them, and if they're not part of your camp, you even change them. Now, Motsoaledi was also doing a good job on the health as well. But you took him and you put him on the Home Affairs. And I can tell you, under his watch, you've had a lot of these. I mean, look at the number of people alone that have been arrested as a result of corruption and looting. Look at how he's actually gone out, fought this matter, and put a stop to that big hundreds of millions of rands corruption tender that was being awarded. And he went and he succeeded in stopping it. So I think he's trying his best. It's very difficult to inherit a department that is in a crisis and be able to sort it out. I can tell you, it will take you the best part of 10 years. You've got a crumbling infrastructure. Your IT system is in a mess. You've got looting and corruption. I mean, there it is an ideal example. A foreigner had total control of the Home Affairs officers. He was basically above the minister and everybody. He could go into these places at night and take total control of them, issue, take in applications, issue the passports and everything. What does it tell you? We've got a crisis there. So it is not only as a result of the Home Affairs that Home Affairs finds itself the way it is right now. It is also as a result of other departments that are not doing their part as well. But I must agree that the queues are unbearable. You people are going there and they're being turned away. It's a massive problem. But if you want to deal with this problem, you cannot achieve this overnight. No, you can't. There's a lot of work to do. Brother Shepherd, which government department, give me one that is operating, is fully functional. Give me one, not one. So Home Affairs is no exception. But I can tell you, that department is now getting its house in order better than many other departments. And yet, that is not an easy department to get going. It's because of what they've inherited, because of the ailing infrastructure, the IT system has collapsed, and the collusion, you know, because this is where the money is being made. You know, the going rate is 30,000 rand in South Africa for a work permit. They will reject your work permit only there so that you could pay a bribe to get it. They will give it to you only when you pay the bribe. Before that, they reject it. So it's not easy, really. I know it sometimes sounds like I'm defending the minister, but I'm saying it out of my personal experience of what is going on. He's one of the few ministers, Brother Shepherd. You can pick up the phone and tell him, listen, this person has got a problem. It's going on. It's unacceptable. And I promise you, within 24 hours maximum, you're getting a response. Good example is the Ukrainian living in South Africa, married to a South African. Brother Shepherd, the permanent resident, the permit was not issued. But the man was critical. He's about to die. He was about to die in the ICU. I had to get them to intervene. The permit and everything was issued. And do you know what, Brother Shepherd? A week later, the man died. Otherwise, the wife would have been stranded in South Africa with the children and everybody.
Yeah, but you know, as you are known as someone that walks the talk, and perhaps, you know, let's go and look at Palestine, you know, the murder of the journalist, and see graphic pictures of the IDF attacking a casket, and then we see an IDF official blatantly talking about, the justifying the murder and the killing of individuals in Jenin, calling innocent men, women, and children terrorists in the eyes of the world. And it seems as if the West, you know, acquiesces in silence whenever Palestine is being subjugated to such a brutality, such a genocide that, you know, that is, we're sinning against our own intelligence. Ahmed, your thoughts?
Brother Shepherd, no difference to the days of apartheid in South Africa. It was exactly the same thing that they used to do. When they've assassinated some of our people, when we've attempted to have a dignified funeral or burial for them, they used to attack them. I mean, it's no different. That's exactly what it is all about. So, you know, they lack consistency as far as that is concerned. It's because some of them have already taken, remember, they've aligned themselves with the Zionists. So they don't see the wrong, or even if they do see the wrong, they cannot. The influence of the Zionists in many of these countries is such that these people will not want to take... It's exactly the same thing as the United States of America. Why is it many countries don't want to take on the United States of America? Not because they don't want to, Brother Shepherd, because they are worried about the repercussions. What is going to happen? Because the United States will come back for you tenfold. That is what, if you could saw what happened in Pakistan and everywhere. This is basically what is happening. Remember, this woman is an American citizen, okay? And I'm given to understand she's Christian, okay? But what did she do? She did what was right. She stood up. She was vocal. She gave us the other side of the story that you never hear because of the manipulation in the media, okay? And look at what has happened to her. But where is the world? Where is the world when these atrocities continue in Iraq, in Afghanistan, Syria, Palestine? Where are they? So can you see the double standards of the world, Brother Shafiq? It is, and that is why it is a very sad day for us as the Ummah, when we ourselves are the root cause of what is actually going on. When we ourselves sell our principles, our iman, our values, it's gone. We sell it to these very same people that are oppressing our people. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with so much of wealth and resources and technology and everything that you can have. Okay? And what has happened? We rather will go and collude with the very same people that are oppressing your people. And we say we are Muslims. You know,
Ahmad, you make a valid point in that. There are the Christian priests who castigated, those Muslim leadership that are in cahoots with the Zionist state of Israel. He's telling, where is that spirit of Umar, radiallahu anhu, when we Christians gave the keys to the Muslims as the custodians of the place there and so forth. And he says that you have betrayed that trust and you have gone away from the message of the noble Quran, the message of Isra and so forth. And here the Christian telling the Muslims that, and so-called Muslim leadership, I mean, what type of leadership we have? We had people like Imran Khan coming to the fore, his own people let him down. And what type of world are we living in? And I know that you'll be making a big noise about the whole thing in Parliament, and your colleagues from the DA, how would they react to you? And you have various other colleagues, perhaps the EFF and the ANC. What are the different reactions you get when you'll be bringing up the issue of the murder of this journalist? You'll be bringing up the issue of Palestine being brutalized by an apartheid state. Even the Desmond Tutu Foundation has come out vociferously, and they said that attack on that casket or that coffin reminded them of apartheid South Africa, Ahmad, as you so eloquently alluded to. Your thoughts?
Yes, well, first of all, I know that the moment you raise it, which I will be raising, there's a motion of notice, without notice, coming up shortly. And there's no doubt about it that people like the ACDP, the IFP, the DA, and others, amongst others, that will try to oppose it. But that's so be it. You know, the world will still hear exactly what we need to do. We will be raising our concerns in terms of them. And I think, I had a chat with the table on Thursday. I think it is because that motion on Palestine is supposed to be coming up. And according to him, it should be coming up sometime in June. And that will tell us whether you can trust the ANC of today or not. But very importantly, you are correct. It reminds you of the days of apartheid, because that's exactly what we're doing. Let us not forget, the same Israel colluded with South Africa to break our sanctions and things. So, they've got a very strong presence in South Africa, because they fund these people. I mean, you can see the DA went through to Ukraine, but they won't go and get the other side of the story there. So they pick and choose who they want and whatever it is, and that's the difficulty about them. So in the world today, people need to understand there's only two sides. One is on the side of the right and the other one is on the side of the wrong. And you need to take a decision country by country. What future do you want for your country, for your people, and what kind of world do we want in the next 100 years? And once you've taken that decision, then it will give you guidance and direction as to how you should be conducting yourself, how you can start in a very small way. In a very small way, how you can start to bring about that change so that the world is not controlled by a handful of people and you are at mercy. So, until such time that happens, the greatest difficulty, however, Brother Shafiq, you got that. Until that happens, the world will still continue with poverty, with disease, with war and civil unrest, hatred and things. It will continue. But the most important thing is when will the Ummah, particularly the Muslim countries, and I don't call them Islamic countries, and I got this particularly from our learned Mufti, who always says that the difference between a Muslim country and an Islamic country, absolutely correctly, when will these people wake up? I mean, look at what is going on in the world and stand up? Is it going to be when it's too late, when they themselves will become the victims, when they will lose everything? It is as a result of their conduct. Some of the countries that were Muslim countries are no longer under Muslim control. I mean, you can see what's happening in Jeddah the other day in terms of the airport. People are standing, but the entertainment industry is thriving. You know, this is the kind of leader you've got there. So, we're in for some very difficult times, but I think that members of the Ummah must start rising, become vocal, let your presence be felt by making statements, forming organizations. We have the resources, we've got the capacity, we've got the intelligence, we've got people with integrity, wisdom. We've got a whole lot amongst us. Why not use that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with that. Why not use that to start in some way or other, no matter how small, to bring about that change in direction? Change in Saudi Arabia needs to come as well, whether we like it or not. Unfortunately for us, we have to go to Saudi Arabia to perform our annual Hajj. You know, and Saudi Arabian government takes the, you know, advantage of that. But there must come a time when we have to take a stand against all these people that are, you know, deviating from Sharia and doing what they want to do in their own selfish interest and selling us out to these Zionists and this Western way of life.
Absolutely, Ahmad. Before I let you go, the name of your relative that passed on, and perhaps you can make the proper announcement and the proper du'as for him. Ahmad, the name?
Yeah, Ikshan Ramzan is from Cravenby in the Western Cape, in Cape Town. And he was 59 years old, was at work yesterday, and fortunately, apparently had a cardiac arrest. And I want to say this, Brother Shafiq, according to the paramedics who got us here, and I'm saying this so that it's a lesson to many of our people, according to the paramedics, they could not save him because he had had 3 Red Bulls in the day. Okay, that's the effect that it had on him. And he used to take this, I'm told, because he works night shift and he needs to keep himself awake all the time. And I've raised the issue of this particular product in Parliament previously on some reports that I have read and how it affects the body. And government doesn't take it seriously. But I'm told by reliable sources yesterday that that's what the paramedics said to them on the scene. We had 3 Red Bulls in the day already and they could not do anything. So, yes, that's him, Ikshan Ramzan, Cravenby Estate, and the janaza is at 11 o'clock today, leaving Cravenby to Pook Road Cemetery.
JazakAllah for that. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Ikshan Ramzan Jannatul Firdaus. Ahmad, you are absolutely brilliant this morning. Your parting words before I let you go?
Well, you know, I'm getting a little bit concerned, brother, because when I've been speaking to people yesterday, Gauteng, you know, almost everybody that I know have got the flu or tested positive. The people I'm speaking to in Durban, almost everybody I'm speaking to in their homes, they got people that have tested, not 1, 3, 4, 5 in one home. And that is a very worrying trend, Brother Shepherd. And remember, we haven't really hit winter as yet. So I think we must just be a little bit very, you know, careful. At this janaza last night when I went there, you could just see, Brother Shepherd, people were a little bit reckless. You know, they forgot about COVID. I think I was the only person with a mask. Only person with a mask. I'm not exaggerating. The only one with a mask. And so you know, these are some of the little things that we can do that, you know, will give us some added protection and things. So I want to appeal to our people that the infection rate is extremely high at the moment, extremely high. And I'm not sure, because if I'm speaking about people that I know in their families are affected, I'm sure all our listeners will be having similar situations in their families and things, or extended families. So it tells us to just be a little bit careful.
Yeah, but it's at that time of the year where the flus come and everyone's got the flu, they got the sniggle, they got the cough. You know what you do, Ahmed? Yeah, have a nice hot cup of dal, hot cup of dal with lots of lemon and some green chilies. Hey, it'll go away, Ahmed. You're going to try it.
So I think that is, but you know, Brother Shafat, in our days we used to be given something. I don't know what's the English name for it, but it used to be called raso. You know, this thing with the tamarind and onion in it and a whole lot of stuff. I don't know
king
if you know that.
Kinklip.
Eh? Sorry?
Kinklip. They call it kinklip, I think.
Oh, king. Okay. But I'm telling you that if you have that thing nice and hot and strong, you could actually feel, you'll see how you're perspiring and how it's, you can actually feel it. And I know, you know, this is the beauty of the past, Brother Shah. This is the beauty of it. That when you had the flu, you had anything, there was no going to the doctor, Brother Shah. Our parents were there with so much of love. They gave us these things. The next day you got up, you were perfect. There was no such a thing as Panado. There was no such a thing as... I know the doctors used to give some red cough mixture or something that was common that day. But otherwise, there was very little or nothing. You never needed to go to hospital or doctors.
Absolutely, Abad. You hit the nail on the head. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. Talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Have your kinklip, people. Have your kinklip and have your hot dal with lots of chilies. And inshallah, the cold will go away.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.